So we go from one episode to the next, and before we click record, we're immediately hating on Alex again.
It was incredible.
It is the common denominator of our friendship, because this man is, he is the epitome of a bandwagon fan.
Ugh, the worst.
How many NBA basketball teams have you been a fan of over the past 20 years?
Let's see. How many teams has LeBron played for?
It's okay to be a fan of a player, as long as you make Correct. That very clear.
And Correct. As long as you make it very, very clear that your team is still your team.
Yes, but the Pistons were dog poop for the last 15 years.
No.
So?
No. See, we've lost cabin pressure. Because I didn't even know you were a Pistons fan. I didn't know.
There was nothing to be a fan of. It sucked.
I'm so upset right now. I'm so upset. You are a LeBron James slappy.
Mm-hmm.
You Thank lived you. In Michigan for 2 decades plus. Then you moved to Pittsburgh and you're like, I'm a Steelers fan. I'm getting Penguins gear.
I have never... Okay, the Penguins gear was a gift from my sister, and it's a very comfortable sweatshirt, but I will always...
Bella, I love you. Bella, I love you. He should have thrown it in the trash.
Right in the trash.
I am a Red Wings fan. You want me to list out my teams in order of I would want to see win a championship?
No, because I don't want to... I'm going to throw up when you say Lakers number one.
You guys are so dumb. You guys are why I go to therapy. Dear Lord.
No, you don't go to therapy.
Okay, if you can do it in 30 seconds, list them. Go.
Michigan football, Michigan basketball, Red Wings, Pistons, Steelers.
Wow.
No love for the Tigers.
Wow. That's a baseball thing. If the Tigers,
see, the thing is,
the Tigers are really good, so I'm rooting for them. But like, I'm not emotionally tied to.
Oh, mine and Corey's heart hang on every pitch of every game. We're texted back and forth. This is the worst team ever. This is the best team ever.
But I am very happy.
It's a daily occurrence. As are we. All right, anyways, so...
Yeah, we shouldn't be talking about this.
Listen.
Oh, wait, do we talk about football?
We do, and that's what we're football. About to do.
Football.
I think this has a chance to be the best week one of my lifetime.
I think this has a chance to be the best podcast episode of all time.
That is sick.
Including the Taylor Swift new hype.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was just going to say to make fun of you. But
wait.
Yourself brought it up.
I'm setting the odds.
The joke is not even funny.
I'm setting the odds for whether or not Alex has watched the entirety of that episode at -5,000 for yes.
I have not. I swear. I have not. I'm not a Swiftie. I'm just aware of news. I'm in the news cycle.
Yeah, he's a cultured man. All right. So anyway, we're just going to jump right into it. I think we go straight for the gusto. Ohio State is playing Texas. Number one versus number two.
The gusto.
First week of the season. I love it. I absolutely love this matchup. And I love, well... It's an SEC team coming north to play a Big Ten school.
Why did you skip over Miami of Ohio at Wisconsin?
See, this is what we're not doing anymore. We're not talking about games that no one cares about. We're done Ohio, doing that.
Ohio is playing at Rutgers.
Oh!
No, stop. Stop right now. Stop.
Big time.
Stop it.
Corey, give it to us. Give it
no.
to us.
No. No. Mute his mic. There's a bridge not that far away from my house.
This will be used in court, this audio.
Anyway, I'm super stoked for this game. Like, to kick off this game, and it's at noon. It really should be a night game. Like, big noon kickoff.
It's Lee Corso's last game day.
Okay, but can we talk about something really quick? When is Fox going to, like, okay, I get it. The name of your show is Big Noon Kickoff. When are you going to switch, like ESPN did, to, yeah, we do the Big Noon Kickoff type show, game day show, but our featured game is still on at 7 o'clock?
Yeah, they got to do that.
What are we doing? What?
They don't even care for the ratings.
I don't even care. I truly do not even care. If they get first pick, they paid the most money. They get first pick.
Right. But they get first pick, but then they're fight. If they go to the 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock time slot, then they're fighting the ratings against the ESPN game of the weekend and NBC's, which is also Big Ten centric. But that's why they do it.
Okay, move it to 4. Start the game at 4 o'clock. Start kickoff at 3:30. I can't do this. We can't have Ohio State, Texas playing at noon.
I think 3:30 might be the worst slot. Personally,
really,
I would rather my team play at noon. Or
but at least the game ends under the lights.
Yeah, I guess.
7 o'clock. Game needs to start at 7 or 8.
It should be a night game. I agree.
It should be a night game. I agree. Like, you have to fight for the ratings. Great. Do it. Learn how to turn the lights on. Let's get it going. Anyway, I'm super stoked for this game. I mentioned it a little bit in the previous pod. So, yeah, if you guys don't mind, I'll take first crack at it.
Yeah, you can take the first crack.
I think this is Texas. I know it's at Ohio State, and that is a big deal here. Is everybody just going to show me their crack? Is that what's happening? Our audience can't see, but I'm seeing cracks. I really like Texas here. Arch Manning has more experience under his belt. Obviously, Quinn Ewers has been the starter at Texas, you know, the last couple of seasons. But Archie has been there. Arch Manning has been there. He's played substantial snaps with Quinn Ewers being out. He's played in big games with Quinn Ewers being out. I look very, very closely at the depth of these rosters. And yes, both are fantastic. Both have a ton of talent. Jeremiah Smith, you know, Caleb Downs, we've talked ad nauseum about them. I think Texas has the better team. I think they have the more mature team. And I think they have a quarterback who's ready for the moment. Am I crazy for feeling this way, that like Texas plus 2.5 is just like the hammer? I honestly feel that way. And take them money line as well. Obviously, do the sprinkle method, right? You take them plus the points and then you sprinkle.
I'm currently putting money on Texas to win money line right now as we are doing this, just because I wanted to check, because the line actually got to 1.5 and yes, now it's gone back to 2.5. So I'm taking them. Yeah. So I'm taking the money line while I can. Yeah. I agree with a lot of what you said. Texas also has a lot of turnover similar to Ohio State, but I looked
a little bit into their roster. The guys who are taking over those starting roles are sophomore juniors, a lot more than what it looked like for Ohio State.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head with Arch. Like, I'm looking at Arch, like Arch to Quinn Ewers is the JJ to Cade McNamara. Like, Quinn could get them so far, but Sark knew, like, Arch has freaking talent. That's why he got on the field regardless of Sark Sark's loyalty to Quinn as the starter. And I think everyone kind of generally agrees that there was a level of loyalty as to why Quinn was still starting at Texas last year. I think Sark knew that Arch gave him a more dynamic athlete at the position, but it was like, Quinn, you've been here, like, take us home, you know?
Yeah, right. I think halfway through the season last year, the change should have happened. I think when Quinn got hurt, and then he was like, no, he's our starter when he comes back. I think that was a bad move. But I definitely understand what you are saying. 100%. You're showing some loyalty to a kid. I get it. But man, it's about winning. And I really do think Arch has got the talent to be a 1-1 type of guy. Not that he's there yet, but he's got that type of talent.
Yeah, this is easily the best game of the entire weekend. And honestly, as a fan, I enjoy the noon kickoff, especially like you're in a tough game or you're in a big game and then your team wins that game. It's just pure enjoyment for the rest of the day watching these other college football games that are somewhat interesting or maybe even not interesting at all, because it's like you're riding off the high of you winning that game right at the noon slot. Now, if you lose that game, I'm taking a different spin on this, obviously, very clearly. If you lose that game, your day is ruined. And I would want nothing more than for Buckeyes fans' days to be ruined on their national championship celebration banner raising day. And I would want nothing more than for Texas to do what Texas did to Michigan last year, albeit in the second game, and it'd just be even better in the first, that they can't even enjoy this season right off the rip because you just got smashed in the face by Texas. I don't think it's going to be that. I don't think it's going to be that harsh of a victory, but I think you guys are convincing me that Texas, especially with the, in this case, experienced quarterback play comparatively to Sayan, that is a tall, tall task for a first-time starter to go ahead and play against the SEC's elite.
Well, and you just touched on it right there. Julian Sayan, we have no clue. We have no clue. I mean, he didn't beat out Will Howard his true freshman season. I don't think that says much about the kid. But he's got the job now. We haven't seen him play. And he's just supposed to week one go up against Texas. Granted, he gets to be at home. That's a huge plus. But that's tough, man. That's really, really tough.
And usually in those games where you have a not like cupcake team to play, you're both at least like, oh, we're getting the first like game of the year jitters out of the way. So you're not operating at full capacity as far as your playbook, as far as, anything that you would want to do. Texas has the experience of a guy who already knows their playbook at quarterback, albeit at who everybody thinks is going to be, if he is lives up to his hype, going to be the number one overall draft pick in whichever year he decides to declare. You do not have that neutralizing factor in this game with the experience at key positions that Texas has as opposed to what Ohio State has. Now, again, huge culture guy, talked about it in the last episode. I think Ohio State's culture will keep them in this game to keep it close and maybe even keep it close into the fourth quarter, but just with the unknown with Sayan at quarterback is going to be the difference maker. Now, if he goes off and he's just like, you know what, F it, Jeremiah Smith down there somewhere and just chucks 80-yard touchdown right off the rip, we're going to be having a very different conversation at 12:02 in the afternoon. But do we really see that happening?
All right, moving on to the conference that actually knows how to showcase its big games. The ACC, obviously, I'm talking about.
The All Coasts Conference?
Yeah, exactly.
Stretching from Stanford to Clemson?
Yep. So we've got LSU at Clemson, Cade Klubnik.
Wait, hold on. The ACC's top game was in week 0 when Stanford traveled to Hawaii.
Right. So anyways, Cade Klubnik, number one.
This guy doesn't respect the ball that was played last week.
I mean, that was actually a really dope game.
It was awesome.
That was actually a really great game. Stanford sucks, though. They're so horrible.
Did you see that stat that I don't know who the running back was, but it was their first rushing touchdown from a running back since 2022?
I can't be a part of that. I can't. Wow.
That Malachi kid, though, for Hawaii, he's limping around out there.
Yeah, getting assassinated. Seriously. Anyway, we've got LSU at Clemson. I mean, boys, we are jumping right into the deep end of the pool. Week one college football. I mean, the week zero game in Dublin, the fact that it was in Dublin really hurts my soul a lot. Play your games on college campuses. It's what's so great about college football. Play your games on your campuses. I digress.
Michigan.
What?
At Michigan.
Yeah, right, exactly. Don't go to Dublin, Ireland. Don't go to Germany. Anywho, I mean, this game, Cade Klubnik is the front runner for the Heisman Trophy preseason. Obviously, a lot of hype surrounding Clemson. Dabo finally changed his attitude and said, oh, I'm at risk of possibly losing my job. I love transfers. Transfers are the best. Transfers are great. He's like a politician switching on a topic.
We got name, image, and likeness. Name, image, and likeness in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he said?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, shout out him. That's cool. I like that. But also.
Yeah, well, I don't like him. So, Dabo, if you're listening, you're dumb. I'm glad you're a Christian, but you're dumb. But it's another one. It's another just week one absolute banger. Corey, I'm going to let you take this one first.
This is where what I was trying to say with like the experience goes, where you have the even playing field. Now you have two very experienced quarterbacks coming in, and that's obviously what we're all going to talk about in a matchup like this. Klubnik and Nussmeier, I think a lot of people were surprised that Nussmeier was going to come back is he a senior or is he a true senior or red shirt?
Real quick, I'm sorry, I'm not answering that question. I'm just wanting to let you know, Clemson is favored by 3.5.
Okay.
So that's what we're picking.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it seems like LSU is like the premier team to get these like highly touted week one matchups. And they dropped to Florida State in that weird, wonky game and then completely just – they didn't let that affect the rest of their season. And that was also under Brian Kelly. I think that was his first year. And then I believe they got, or did they lose to USC last year? Was that the first game of the year as well? LSU,
their USC? Kickoff game? Yeah, their kickoff game. That's right. Wow, good memory.
Yeah. In Vegas.
And they seem to not do well in these games, but that also doesn't affect the rest of their season. So, like, if you're an LSU fan, do you want to win this week one game and then, like, flip the script and like, okay, the season's wishy-washy? Because you do have some expectations. I've seen so many people picking LSU to be the favorite coming out of the or the dark horse outside of Texas to win the SEC. I think this is their first big test because there's a lot of expectations for Clemson. Clemson has a very old roster, which as we've seen the past few years, that bodes well, especially in the college football playoff. I really don't know. This is just a game that you're going to sit back and watch and just hope and pray for a great game, which I think it will be. I am going to take LSU. You said plus 3.5?
Plus 3.5. Yeah, well, it's Clemson minus 3.5. They're at home. So
dare I say
plus 3.5.
The sprinkle method as well.
Wow.
dare I say, I think this is the year maybe where they get over the hump, because there is a little bit of pressure for
Nussmeier, man. That Nussmeier kid. He can sling that puppy.
He was slinging it in the USC game, and then he was slinging in SEC play. They have experience in these games, and yes, we're talking about Clemson, who seemed to have dominated, the ACC in the four-team college football playoff era, and they know how to win. But I hate to say that it's just a gut feeling. I don't really know. Like, why are we expecting Clemson in the first year of dipping into the transfer portal? Oh, it's automatically going to work. Let's go with LSU, who's been here the past 3 years, finally getting over the hump. Sprinkle method. Give me the Tigers. Go Tigers.
I don't have much to add, Corey. I love your take. We're just supposed to say magically Clemson all of a sudden is just, oh, they decided they're going to play with the big boys and do the transfer portal. So they're back to being Trevor Lawrence, Clemson. Pause. Wait.
Now, I don't think that this means they're going to be bad.
No. That's not what we're saying.
First test of the season.
Yeah, exactly. Granted, they get the game at home. I don't love that. I would love to be catching, like, the devil's number here. I'd love to be catching 5.5, but 3.5, you're giving me more than a field goal. Listen, both of these teams have stacked rosters. Very, very, very good rosters. Nussmeier is, you've got two Heisman hopefuls starting in this game at quarterback. I really like LSU's chances in this game. I hate the fact that it's on the road. Right, it's the battle of Death Valleys, but I think no matter what, if you were giving me either team plus 3.5, like, I'm gonna take it. If it was at LSU and you're giving me Clemson plus 3.5, I'd take Clemson plus 3.5. I just think that this is gonna come down to like a last second field goal type of game, and really hard. Obviously, first game of the season. I'd say be very careful with these picks, but I kind of dig it. I kind of dig it, Corey. I like it.
I am going to make this very easy for you fellas. Which of these teams has the better head coach?
I know one has a national championship.
Make that two. Two.
Clemson has the better coach.
Okay. Who has the better quarterback?
I'm not saying for sure that Klubnik is. People want to anoint him like he's already won the Heisman. I'm sorry. I'm not there. I'm sorry. Nussmeier's disgusting.
Nussmeier's really good.
If you told me you were going to give me $50 to bet on either one of these two players to win the Heisman Trophy, with Nussmeier having the better odds that he does, I would absolutely put it on him over Klubnik. I think Klubnik is getting far too, not that he's bad. I think he's a very, very good quarterback, and he's worthy of some of the praise. Give me Nussmeier.
I feel like Klubnik also had to like have a little bit of a prove-it moment last year as well, when Nussmeier didn't. So I think as far as established goes, I think Nussmeier is the better established.
Oh, yeah, you're not making it so easy for us, Alex, you little idiot.
I'll make this quick then, because I think in Clemson I'm getting the better coach. I think I'm getting the better quarterback, and I think I'm getting the team that's playing at home. I think Clemson's going to win this game. I think they're going to cover. You're also getting the team that doesn't suck in season openers. LSU has lost like 6 season openers in a row or something.
Yeah, they're not a great starting team. I don't think Brian Kelly ever has been like in his career. Like, he had a few scares at Notre Dame.
Okay.
I would also just like for you to know that Cade Klubnik was responsible for 43 touchdowns last year, only throwing 6 interceptions. And Garrett Nussmeier threw for 29 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. I don't know if he ran for any, but he'd have to run for a lot to catch up to Cade. I think the gap between these two is going to be
rather. Did Klubnik play in, though?
I do not care that much.
Well, I do, because the SEC ran laps around the ACC.
You want to go look up LSU's schedule last year, because it was disgusting. It was absolutely disgusting.
Who did Clemson play? They played SMU. They played SMU and had to kick a last-second field goal to win the ACC.
Ooh.
SMU.
Hey,
who was in like the Atlantic?
Don't bark at the dogs if you don't want to get bit back.
SMU's got a good roster. Don't act like SMU. Oh yeah,
it's on par with loads of SEC teams.
Loads. And also, I would like to say
Vanderbilt would have been a 10-plus point favorite against SMU last season.
I would like to say, because people are going to use this against me, because I was so prove it for Penn State in the previous episode. You're going to have to prove it to me before I give you that. For Brian Kelly, it's like, oh yeah, he's terrible in season over, so you're going to have to prove it to me on one condition. Brian Kelly may kill somebody if they lose this game. Because he was like, you remember him hitting the podium, he's like, every dang time. And it was like so weird and almost like, I think he's just, the message for his guys is like, hey, you're going into Death Valley, and if you don't come out with a victory, you will be staying in Death Valley. Emphasis on the death.
I don't know. I think I'm checking the three biggest boxes with the team that is playing at home. Clemson is at home. Better quarterback, better coach to me. And honestly, I just think it's that simple. I think they're going to cover. I think they're going to win. I think this is their coming out party this year on their way to an ACC championship and a top 4 seed in the playoff.
All right, last one.
Wait, who did you pick?
We both took LSU.
Are you taking LSU to win the game too, or just points?
Points. I mean, we're picking the spread, so I'm taking them plus the points.
Have you ever been on Big Banter before, Alex?
Do you? What's your money line take?
That's a really good question.
Oh yeah,
I think.
Come on, say it. Say it.
LSU wins outright.
Let's go.
Is that you too, Corey?
I said sprinkle method right off the rip.
Okay. Yeah. All right, boys.
I think Clemson probably wins the game. I think Clemson probably wins the game. And it's probably due to a lot of what you said. But 3.5, I just think it's going to be a field goal game. I think it's going to come down to 1 or 2 points.
All right, let's get to Catholics versus Convicts.
All right, Catholics, Convicts, round a million. Guys, we get 3 top 10 matchups to start the season.
This is on Sunday, right?
Correct, yes.
God's Day.
Sunday, yes. They play on the Lord's Day. 7:30 kick. So apparently the ACC knows how to do football, too, better than the Big Ten.
They're going to go to morning mass.
Yeah, morning mass. And then they'll be drunk by 3 o'clock. Anyway, before all the Catholics try and kill me,
that's the convicts. The convicts.
Yeah, I don't know who's playing quarterback for either of these schools, and that's a problem.
CJ Carr for Notre Dame.
No, I know who's playing quarterback. I just don't. We have no foundation.
Carson Beck for Miami. He's in Georgia.
Okay, but here's my problem. The offseason Carson Beck has had, I really dislike a lot.
And he might be a little hurt. He's had like a shoulder thing this offseason.
I actually, I want
end of end of last season.
By the way, this is Notre Dame at Miami, Notre Dame minus 2.5. I want so badly to take Miami plus the points. You have no idea how bad I want to do that. I want to take Miami plus the points.
I think Notre Dame's going to be able to control the pace of the game.
Yeah, and
be able
their line, their O-line, their D-line. Miami is just all over the freaking place. And by the way, they have a head coach who is willing to throw a game in the garbage. Literally pick the game up, one, it has a W on it, and throw it in the trash.
Well, wait, why would he do that?
That's a great question, Corey. Now, see, when you're dumb, sometimes you do dumb stuff.
He watched Matt Campbell take three knees at the one in Ireland and was like, wait.
You could do that? you're allowed to do that? Whoa.
You have to hand it off.
Uh-uh. Oh, I can't pick Miami. I can't do it. I think, oh my gosh, the Notre Dame head coach, why is his name?
Marcus Freeman.
Marcus, yeah, thank you. Marcus Freeman.
The best looking coach in college football.
Yeah, I don't think that there's much argument to be made there.
I wish I had his face.
Yeah, me too. Everybody does. He's hot. Anyway, I look at this game. I want so desperately. Super lock. I'm like, oh my gosh, at home, and you're getting 2.5. Like, no, don't touch it.
Big Banter super lock. Marcus Freeman is hot.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
First of the year.
I'm saying right now. You got to take the Cathos here. You got to take the Catholics. You got to take Notre Dame.
Minus the points.
Minus 2.5. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. I'm feeling the same thing. I think Jeremiah Love is a sneaky Heisman Trophy candidate at running back, and I think just the
dude might score 50 touchdowns.
Seriously, he's going to be the primary weapon on that offense. Like Marcus Freeman kind of showed you last year. I think maybe not all of what he wants to be as a football team. I think he does want to air it out more eventually, but the identity and core of this football team is going to be they play nasty defense and run the football. And I think with a guy like Love in the backfield, they're going to be able to do that. And that kind of stuff, controlling the pace and being dedicated to a philosophy that starts with running the football and stopping the run, that helps you a lot on the road to taking the crowd out of it. So I'm also going to go with Notre Dame minus the points.
I feel quite similar. So the first Big Banter super lock is Marcus Freeman is hot, but the second one will be Notre Dame minus the points.
No, I think we all picked Ohio or Texas.
Did we?
Plus the points.
Oh, yeah, we did. Whoops, sorry. So Texas, Marcus Freeman, and Notre Dame. All hot in different ways. I will take a different perspective on this. Marcus Freeman was able to shake off some demons in one season, losing to Northern Illinois and then making it all the way to the national championship game. And he didn't have to deal with the narrative being built around. It's like, oh, like he's a James Franklin, like something just cracks or fall, or he's a Mario Cristobal who throws W's in the trash can. I think there's something to be said that Notre Dame, even last year, had struggles throwing the ball, and it didn't matter whatsoever. They beat a very good Indiana team at home on campus, and then they beat Penn State doing that same model, who was also very good and exercised a little bit of demons throughout that playoff run. And towards the end of the national championship game, was able to get themselves back into the game in a position to make things really interesting and sweaty for Ohio State. I think Marcus Freeman has that philosophy down, the run-first mentality, Alex, just like you said, but also an element of like, hey, we're going to run this ball, and there is nothing you can do to stop it. So I think you kind of take the inexperienced quarterback play out of the picture based off of the fact that you already have a surefire identity established and one of the best running backs in the country in your backfield to take some pressure off of a new guy. Plus, when are we going to start treating Mario Cristobal like he's on the hot seat in Miami? Because they haven't done a gosh darn thing since he's been there. But be known for not taking a knee and wasting a Heisman Trophy finalist's final year in college. So, seat cooking down in South Florida? I don't know.
I don't disagree. It gets pretty hot down there.
All right, real quick. I want to keep this episode as short as possible. I'm going to let you guys give me your favorite Big Ten matchup.
I was going to say, are we picking the Big Ten games?
With the spreads the way they are, it just, they're so astronomical. Most of these games are just so crazy.
Just do rapid fire. Do rapid fire, then our game of the week. Like our non-big game of the week.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We're going to start it off Thursday. We've got Ohio traveling to Rutgers. Rutgers minus 15.5.
I don't even need to see it. I'm hammering Rutgers. They're making me money.
I guess Rutgers.
I'm going to take Ohio plus the points.
Yeah. Yeah, Rutgers is really bad, but I can't not take Rutgers.
Okay, we've got Buffalo traveling to Minnesota. Minnesota is minus 17.5.
Same order, Corey. Let's just keep the same order.
You know what? I'm going to go Minnesota.
I'll also go Minnesota.
Is this going to be one of those years?
You hate PJ Fleck. You're going to take Buffalo.
It just, the over under in that game is 44.5. Minnesota's supposed to score 30 some odd point. Give me Buffalo plus the points. Sorry. Miami traveling to Miami of Ohio, traveling to Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a 17.5 point favorite. The over under is 39.5.
I don't believe in Wisconsin at all. If any MAC team is going to cause some chaos, Miami, let's see it happen. I'll take them.
I'll take Miami.
I will also take Miami. I'm 3-for-3 picking against the Big Ten. You're giving me 17.5 in this dairy raid cluster poop offense. I'm sorry. I can't buy it. All right, all these games are on Thursday, by the way. Lots of Thursday games. The final one, this is my favorite game of the week for the Big Ten outside of the big one. Nebraska traveling to Cincinnati. Nebraska is a 6.5 point favorite. Corey.
6.5 point favorite against Cincinnati? I don't see it. I think they'll win the game, but I don't see them covering a touchdown. So give me Cincinnati to cover.
I'll take Nebraska. I think their offense is going to take a couple steps forward with Dana Holgorsen calling the plays for the whole year. I'll take Nebraska minus 6.5.
I agree. I think this is a little bit of a coming out party. Cincinnati has regressed quite substantially from what they were as a team. Even a couple years ago, bad team, bad roster. I understand they get it at home. There's going to be a lot of Nebraska fans there. Okay. It's not the Bearcats of old. I like Nebraska here. I actually think this might be a play. I think Nebraska minus 6.5 might actually be a play here because I think they have the potential to win by multiple touchdowns.
Corey's taking Cincinnati because he's Swifty.
No,
don't shift this heat on me, mister. I'm bringing up the big news.
All right, it's become a Friday tradition unlike any other. Michigan State now always kicks off their season Friday night under the lights.
Good for them.
Western Michigan, fresh off their national championship in hockey, travels to Michigan State. Michigan State is a 20.5 point favorite, Corey.
Jeez, how bad do they think Western Michigan is going to be this year. If there's a lot of unknowns for Michigan State, but I think with the experience of Childs at quarterback, playing an inferior opponent, I think they do get this one done. Get some excitement going in East Lansing. I think they're Jonathan Smith's a good coach. Like Alex. He's been good.
Oh, sorry.
He's been good wherever he's been. And I think he gets these guys ready. They cover.
I think the momentum from the hockey championship is really going to carry Western into the beginning of this season. So I'm going to capitalize on that momentum and take Western to cover.
Give me Michigan. Give me Michigan State. Western sucks. Western Illinois traveling to Illinois. Illinois is a 45.5 point favorite. Yeah, like anyone's betting this. Corey, go ahead.
Do I have to?
No.
I guess. What? But didn't they lose to Indiana last year by like 70? Wasn't that them?
I don't remember. I don't keep track of Western Illinois.
Okay. Fine. Illinois, I guess. I don't want to do it.
Yeah, Illinois, I guess.
The over-under 63.5, so Illinois' defense is good. I think Illinois is probably going to be the only one scoring points, so yeah, I'll take Illinois. We move to the Saturday slate. It is Northwestern playing Tulane. Tulane, 5.5 point favorite at home. Northwestern going to Tulane.
This is the game outside of Big Noon Kickoff that I am locked into, baby. This is just a fun matchup. Northwestern's probably going to be really, really bad. Give me Tulane at home. They win by a touchdown.
Yeah, Tulane. Northwestern stinks.
Yeah, I think 5.5 is real weird here. I kind of wish it was more, if that makes any sense, but give me Tulane, 5.5. Ball State traveling to Purdue. Oh, boy. Battle of the Bastards, I guess you could call this game. My word, two teams that are just in the dumpster right now. I mean, you might be talking about, like, as far as Division I football goes, these might be bottom 20 teams, both. Or bottom 10 teams, maybe. Ball State at Purdue minus 17.5.
I think Purdue is going to fly under the radar. I think they're going to be a lot better than people think. Not like good, but they're not going to be horrible. So it starts here. 17, Purdue.
I'll take the team that has Ball in their name.
Yeah, I will as well. Give me Ball State. Purdue to beat anybody by 17.5 sounds ludicrous. Florida Atlantic traveling to Maryland. Maryland, 14.5 point favorites.
Give me Maryland.
Maryland always crushes their early season opponents and then falls off late, so I'll take Maryland.
I don't know who's playing quarterback for Maryland, but...
You don't need to.
Yeah, Maryland. Old Dominion going to Indiana. Indiana is a 23.5 point favorite.
Bloodbath. Indiana keeps the good times rolling.
Who's your daddy?
Yeah, I think this is a Kurt Cignetti special where, like, they play teams that are far inferior to them and they just don't stop scoring. Give me Indiana minus points. Nevada traveling to Penn State. Penn State minus 43.5. The over-under in this game is 56.5.
Nevada shouldn't get off the plane. So that's my pick.
James Franklin covers. He likes to cover.
They are trying to make you take Nevada. They're really, really trying to make you take Nevada. Penn State's just going to get off to a rip-run start this season, and they always destroy the bad opponents. Give me Penn State. Montana State traveling to Oregon. Oregon, 27.5 point favorites.
This is the second year in a row where Oregon has played one of those FCS schools. I think maybe they struggle again. Montana State's a lot better than people give them credit for. They cover this game.
Yeah, I'm going to take Montana State too. Like you said, Oregon struggled a little bit early last season. So I'll take Montana State.
Yeah, and they've got the Boise State game around the corner. They're going to be paying attention, thinking a little bit more about that, I think. Yeah, give me Montana State. I will take them as well. Okay, University at Albany traveling to Iowa. Iowa, 38.5-point favorites. We are going to trim down how many of these games we pick going forward. We are not. This is nonsensical, people. Us picking these games, we have no holy clue who half these teams are. We're going to pick a handful moving forward.
That's half the fun. Anyway, Iowa.
Iowa.
See, look how fast it was, Ethan.
Iowa.
You were the slowest pick. That's crazy. Yeah.
Boo, Ethan.
All right, Michigan. At home against New Mexico, Michigan is a 34.5-point favorite.
I will be at this game. Again, a lot hedges on Bryce Underwood, but I think they do struggle a little bit out of the gate. I think they don't win by 34 points, but they win by like 28.
Yeah, I agree. I'll take New Mexico to cover, not by much.
Is New Mexico State returning their starting quarterback, or are they starting someone new?
A lot of people think they're going to be pretty good in their conference, so yes, I would assume.
I'm going to take New Mexico State here.
Just New Mexico, no
state. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. It is New Mexico. It is not New Mexico State. I do apologize. I'm going to take New Mexico plus the points. Missouri State traveling to USC. USC 35.5.
It's a hate pick. I'm picking Missouri State solely because of my anger.
I'll take USC because I think their defense is going to be a little bit better.
I'll take USC because I think their offense is just going to run the score through the roof. I don't think their defense is going to be any better. Colorado State travels to Washington. At least they're on the right side of the country. Washington minus 22.5.
I'll take Washington. I won't think about it too much.
I'll take Washington. They're on a 20-game home win streak. They're gonna crush this team at home.
Yeah, Colorado State gets up for one game a year, and that's to play Colorado. This ain't it. Starting on the road, they're going to get gouged by Washington. Washington minus the points. Utah on the road against UCLA. Utah is a 5.5-point favorite.
That's going to be a fun game to watch late at night. A lot of people are thinking that UCLA is going to turn the corner. I don't see it quite yet. Utah takes it home.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm also going to take Utah. I'll probably be asleep by the time the first quarter ends, but I will take Utah.
Yeah, I don't see the turnaround coming for UCLA anytime soon. I see them firing their head coach. Give me Utah. By a bajill.
And that's that, isn't it?
That is that.
That is that.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the picks. Have a fantastic week one. Ethan, do you want to say something?
People, rate, review, subscribe. We love you. Thank you for listening. We are going to trim down. It's going to be Big Ten centered, the games that we pick. But we're going to trim it down a little bit. We can't keep giving you minus 45.5 point favorites and all that. So we'll work on it. We'll trim it down a bit. We'll get it more bite-sized, easier pill to swallow. We love you. Keep listening. Peace.